All right, so you're listening to this podcast right now, London is Blue, and guess what? We host our podcast on anchor.fm. That's right. If you're looking to host your own podcast, this is the easiest free way to get started. It's got a content creation tool, allows you to record and the podcast right from a phone. That's right. Don't even need a computer, but you can do it there too. They'll also help you distribute it, which is probably the most challenging part. You don't want to have to mess with that. They got you covered. You can get it right on a Spotify and Apple Podcasts, as well as any other place podcasts are found. And you know what? You can monetize it too. Make a little cash for sharing your great content with the world. It's everything you need to make a podcast all in one individual place. So you know what? Head over to your app store, download the Anchor app, or head to anchor.fm to get started if you're ready to launch your podcast and make it happen.
Hi, this is Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
This is William.
I'm Mason Mount. You're listening to the London is Blue podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the London is Blue podcast. Dan here alongside Nick. Just want to let you know that the upcoming episode we got going on here is a little bit of speculation around who Chelsea may or may not be signing. Obviously, nothing locked in, nothing confirmed yet, but just us having a little bit of fun ahead of hashtag Project Restart and Chelsea coming back onto the football pitch, Nick.
That's right. So we're excited about these episodes. It's been fun. It's been positive to talk about something that wasn't COVID-related, which is nice. So if you could do us a huge favor, we'd love to get you as followers on Instagram at LondonBluePod. Been posting a lot of really cool graphics and content there, so there's a lot to go check out. And then go over to our YouTube. We need a hell of a lot more followers on YouTube. Brandon has been putting in some serious work to get videos posted, and we have, I think, some better setups coming soon for those videos. So our last Timo Werner one did super well. We're pumped about that. Let's keep the momentum rolling. Just London is Blue podcast on YouTube.
All right, Chelsea fans, welcome back to another episode, that's right, of the London is Blue podcast. No Brandon Busby today, but of Thank course, God. Nick Ferlaney, always present, always vigilant, always there with the beard and the fresh trim. The fresh trim, yes, that he's covering with the hat.
I finally got those a haircut for the first time. Oh my God. Best thing ever.
Well, in order to round out our group today, we have Mr. Yannick, Mr. Chelsea Yannick, coming in hot, coming in fresh off the subs bench with a last-minute adjustment. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, so let's just take a second and address the elephant in the room, shall we, boys? So people here on Twitter, they've been reading Matt Law's tweets about the big transfer to London is Blue all for these like past few months. The fans have been waiting for the superstar marquee signing of George Benson. Sadly, the contract terms could not be agreed. Pulled out last minute, so they had to dip into League on deadline day. Panic buy football therapy, Yannick. I'll probably lounge around for about two seasons, score 8 league goals, and then you'll sell me to West Ham. Thanks for having me on.
That's a very detailed view. Is that like happened in your last like FIFA career mode for your player?
That was the saddest. No, I was just thinking Michy Batshuayi the whole way.
Oh, I mean, you outdid Danny Drinkwater at that point, so.
Yeah.
What's that?
Swings, we've got to take the rough with the smooth, Nick. So.
Yeah, I was guessing more of a Zappa Costa style approach. He would end up sending you out on loan. Oh, maybe your fitness would be challenged. But anyway,
let's smash my self-esteem before he even bloody got started.
Well, we had to bring you in because after the supposed very close to be finished signing of Timo Werner to Chelsea, which everyone is over the moon about, anytime you can dump Liverpool, it feels really good. It's all about what's next, though, Nick. What's next? Who's the next player? Who are we going to go after? And there is some idea, you know, Christian Falk from, Blid is kind of saying that Chelsea are also interested in Kai Havertz. And so, you know, when we talk about reinforcing the attack, this is something that could be extremely interesting as we look at what's coming into the, you know, transfer window that may, you know, maybe normal, maybe longer, however it ends up being. When you think about next season, exciting name, exciting talent, and maybe we should talk about what he could potentially bring to Chelsea, where he might play, and if we think it's the right type of signing to go after.
So, I mean, this is a, you know, so you have Timo Werner, who obviously could play as a two. He could play on the left with a supporting striker. You know, he can play on his own up top if he needed to do so. So he's definitely an incredible signing. And then, yeah, and we're looking at this from like, what other positions of need do Chelsea have, right? You know, you have, with the addition of Werner, Abraham, Pulisic, Callum Hudson-Odoi, hopefully, and you have a bunch of others supporting, Ziyech, Ruben Loftus-Cheek, and like players who are coming back from injury who can help the team maybe finish a little bit better than they have up to this point in the season. So as a position of need, is Kai Havertz someone that you think would even fit within our current setup? And if so, where?
Well, okay, great question, Nick. the thing is with Kai Havertz, right? No worries. He suits like... So the everyone's like inclination, right? Or your sort of reflex answer would be like, no, we don't need this guy. We need a left back. And even maybe perhaps before someone like Kai Havertz, you'd need a centre back maybe if you're really truly looking to upgrade. But the thing is, right, Kai Havertz is different to, say, the likes of Jadon Sancho, who's also been that sort of similar tier player that was linked to Chelsea, that, you know, do we need him? Don't we need him? The thing is with Kai Havertz is... he can play as a false nine. He can play more of like an actual nine as well, surprisingly. He can play an inside forward on the flanks. He can play as a second striker very comfortably. And he can play in attacking midfield. So he sort of suits this recurring theme under Lampard of preferencing this versatility. Whereas Jadon Sancho, he's a winger. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what he is. So that's good because he wants to have this sort of tactical versatility. So although he wouldn't necessarily fit this problem position, can play any position. He's like a sort of Galactico utility player who can score goals. And Chelsea need goals. So even with all those players that you listed off so well, he'd probably find a place in the team. I think really it's just if we can get him sort of thing, and the options. And Lampard needs to be brutal. And even if his golden boys, people who aren't performing are his original golden boys, then they're no longer his golden boys. So it's a sort of unnecessary signing that would be welcome.
It almost feels like, Dan, that with the names, and I left out Mason Mount, which is my fault, of that original
son of
list.
Sorry,
son of Lampard. It feels like if Kai Havertz or another big name attacker comes in, Dan, that this is going to transform from a kind of a set formation up top to Lampard's attacking amorphous blob. there's so much positional flexibility between a lot of these players that I feel like it would be tough to identify where they all would come at you if you're in opposing defense.
Well, it's the famous 3-0-7 formation that Lampard is going to just roll out with. It's going to be midfield. All out attack. Yeah. Just completely avoid the midfield.
Lampard.
I think what I would say, and kind of to that larger thesis, right? If we look at the fact that we signed Timo Werner, the fact that we're looking at someone like Kai Havertz, I think, you know, the rumor name for a long time had been Jadon Sancho, right? And let's just like, that means we should take Jadon Sancho off the table. Jadon Sancho to Chelsea doesn't happen in a world where he's being valued individually at 120, 130 by Dortmund. And they might have to accept less than that given the current situation. But if you can, say, get a Timo Werner and potentially a Kai Havertz for somewhere close or maybe just a little above what Jadon Sancho was, now that's some sexy business. That is some... Roman and Chelsea coming back to destroy football business. Can you look at just kind of some of his stats for this year? So kind of 38 total games in the Bundesliga, across all competitions, Europa League and Champions League, 15 goals, 8 assists. That's a nice amount. And then Statsman Dave coming at us with Kai Havertz has scored 4 goals since the Bundesliga restarted, more than any other player in the competition. Also has the highest expected goals, which I know you love, 3.47, and non-penalty expected goals, 2.71. When you talk about adding goals back into the team, if you get Kai Havertz, he becomes an immediate starter in this Chelsea side.
Yeah, it's important to note, like, people listening, if they don't know much about Kai Havertz, some people have just sort of watched the restart, and he's been like the big story in Germany of late. He's obviously very young. He's 20 years old, but he's been so highly rated for a little while now. Like, he went a little bit quiet before the pause of the season in Germany, but last season he had an incredible campaign This season, he's doing the same. Obviously, the aforementioned versatility, positional versatility, or whatever I just spoke about. But he's so exciting on the ball. Someone like Jadon Sancho, explosive down the flanks, can dribble and stuff. The way Havertz can move with the ball, he like glides like Kaká, you know, like the way he can play. He's a special, special player. And he's not necessarily been just on the end of moves, scoring loads of goals. He's been doing loads of very impressive football. He is a top, top tier signing. Everyone would want him. He'd start in most teams. So people need to understand that this is a very special player. He's not just some German kid who scored a bunch of goals recently, who can play in a couple of positions. He's an incredible young player, very, very highly rated by loads around Europe. And I've kind of forgotten your question there, Dan, because I really just wanted to assert that point.
Well, I tease you up with the idea of expected goals. And I think what's interesting when you talk about that positional flexibility, though, is so his team ran out of healthy strikers. And so his manager says, hey, I'm just going to actually put you up top.
Yeah.
And he's been scoring. He has actually scored every single game. I think it's 7 or 8 goals in a row now when he has played in the actual 9 position for Leverkusen.
Well, you know, that's exactly like the story of loads of other elite gunmen. Timo Werner, he's a converted winger. They're like, right, you know, he's got, granted, he still plays wide, but when he scores so many goals playing up front, so they're like, let's move you closer to the goal. And I think, I don't want to plagiarize this, I think it was Raphael Honigstein who said this, who was talking about this, and he said, it's the exact same thing that happened to Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. And Aubameyang is an absolute lethal gunman. And they were like, we should play this guy up front, you know, and then he just scored shitloads of goals. So sadly for Aubameyang, it happened quite late in his career. This is happening really early for Werner. This is happening really early for Havertz. And so they've got these elite forwards that you feel comfortable playing them deep because they've been raised and sort of had their skills cultivated in a different part of the pitch. That's why they can move so well between the lines. And dude, whoever gets Kai Havertz, if it's Chelsea, if it's not, absolute bad boy signing. That's what you guys say in America, right? Or is that English? That's probably more.
He's a bad boy.
Yeah.
No, bad man. It's the mama, there goes that man, Mark Jackson line.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever. I'll take Nick's word for it. He's one of those.
He's a bad man. I was actually reading a positional analysis of Havertz yesterday and kind of looking at, you know, what outside of the kind of attacking cut and thrust action, like where he might fit into this team. There's also, so one of the analyses I read said that he could fit into a 4-3-3 as one of the midfielders that advances up. So he's not a defensive, you know, stud by any means, you know, that's not his purpose in life, nor should it be given his insane attacking talent. You know, you could see a scenario where Lampard keeps a 4-3-3. He becomes one of those advanced midfielders and links play up to Werner, Pulisic, Ziyech, whatever. Or you could see him playing as like the more traditional number 10 as well, Jan, which is crazy because you look at then depth across like a 4-2-3-1. You have wings pretty much covered forever now. You have a ton of wing options. You have 2 or 3 number 10 options.
Absolutely. Like,
you know, whereas this year you've really only had one, and that was Mason Mount. So, you know, I don't know, man. It's crazy.
It's interesting. It is crazy. The thing is, I think he'd be an amazing 8, like you say, like in one of those midfield 3 either side or perhaps the pivot. So he'd be like a shuttling 8. He'd be like, you know, before the pause of football, Mason Mount was playing that left centre mid, which obviously is the same role. We saw Ruben Loftus-Cheek absolutely exploding under Sarri before he got injured. Yep. You know, that was his role. Mason Mount, suddenly, like he's playing, when he scored the excellent goal before football stopped, he's been playing. Granted, he was being supercharged by Billy Gilmore, who made bloody Barkley looked like Kaká next to him, but like, he was making everyone look better. But Mason Mount looked incredible that left side. I mean, I was talking to Joe Tweedy about this actually, saying, you know, if Kai comes in, there's going to be so many casualties with all these players. You know, like I really like Pulisic. A lot of people aren't sure about him. I think he's a good player. And I think he's so young. People just forget that this dude's like 21. And they're like, oh, you know. And suddenly the rotational wingers of like Pulisic and Hudson-Odoi, that's not bad B team, is it? If your starters are Werner and Ziyech. But it's the same with the midfielders. Like, you know, if you've got Havertz, say, starting in that eight role, that sort of hybrid 8-10, perhaps I could see him playing. And then what have you got behind him? You've got Mason Mount and Ruben Loftus-Cheek. Like, who the hell? What is this? You know, they've both got such high ceilings. So, you know, there is a little bit of like when Frank Lampard changed too much. There's something to be said with consistency, but you need versatility in your tactics. But I mean, he's going to have a job. Like, some good players are going to have to sit on the bench, you know? So,
yeah,
I don't know how it's going to work, if it happens, of course.
The Pulisic, Hudson-Odoi, Mount, Ruben, you know, the squad of players that everybody's has fallen in love with this year, you know, and last year.
Bench.
You know, it becomes a really interesting cutthroat scenario. It kind of brings me back, Dan, to, you know, the thing you talked about during our Werner episode, which is, you know, when Chelsea added Michael Ballack, it made every other midfielder work harder because he's a world-class midfielder coming in to take one of their spots, if not a couple of their spots, right? Just with his flexibility. So my hope is that any new signing that comes in this summer, you know, blanket statement, it makes everybody work harder, you know, and I think Pulisic will work harder. The dude cares about football more than anything in the world. So my guess is that he's going to be all right. Mason Mount, you could easily see this supercharging his development and wanting to, you know, become the best version of himself. And Ruben's healthy, man. And again, I love Ruben Loftus-Cheek so much. Like, there's good luck in training getting bounced off of him because he's going to be angry, you know. So it's going to be interesting to kind of see what happens.
I think if we look at the players who are more likely to be displaced, or I think that they would find themselves either on the market or outside of maybe kind of being able to be brought into the first team. If you bring in someone like Kai Havertz, I think the biggest casualties are actually someone like Ross Barkley, who we've seen a little bit of maturity from, but probably could be sold with some level of profit and is probably on a bit of a higher wage relative to some of the younger players on the team. And I think the other one actually could be someone like Conor Gallagher, who, impressing on loan really significantly, is that goal scoring midfielder, but maybe ends up going on loan again because now you've got a little bit of a logjam in the position. And as much as I'm super excited that Ruben is back and fully healthy, I also know that he has kind of been a Mr. Glass over the course of his career. And so, like, until he can sustain, you know, the rest of this season, I want to see him go through the end of this modified season with no injury and the, you know, basically through the start of whatever the next season is, kind of with full fitness before I'm going to count on him as like a slotted in into the starting 11. Like, to me, Mount sits in there ahead now just because he's gotten rolled, he's gotten destroyed, he's gotten chopped down and somehow can find his way to fitness in every match. And I think, Nick, as you like to say, the best ability is availability, the Ditka line, because it makes sense. Like, you have to figure out who you can rely on. And Havertz is actually super reliable in the same way. I mean, he's, I think, just missed this last game to kind of a muscular issue or the Real Madrid cold, whether maybe that was what it was. But ultimately, but, you know, when you think about, like, there are other teams looking at him too, right? There's Real Madrid, there's Bayern Munich, but this is, I think, another situation where, yeah, and with what Chelsea are doing, we are drafting a statement of intent, and I think it's getting those players that we're looking at excited. You know, Timo is being called by Frank to talk about the project, to talk about the plan, to outline what we're doing next. And Havertz, if he's not getting pole position at Bayern as a German kid, as a German national team player, it's kind of that, you know, typical dream to want to go there. You could see him being swayed by what Frank is doing, particularly as an attacking midfielder where his bread and butter was, to come play with the best attacking midfielder in English football.
Yeah. Quickly, I want to pick up definitely on that. I just want to say one thing about you saying I want to see Loftus-Cheek play the rest of this season without getting an injury. Have you heard the stats from the Bundesliga? Injuries are up 250%. Mm-hmm. So yeah, good luck with that. Anyway, Mr. Glass with a 250% increase being likely. Lampard, Galactico, you know, SW6 rebuild 2020, breaking football, taking advantage of a situation where they're in the financial green buyer's market in many ways, especially for the likes of Chelsea. It's been reported by loads of reputable journalists that only really Chelsea and Manchester United could make significant signings in this window. Chelsea are a bit more appealing, and United have a special pool of money they can pull out of that they always seem to have. Lampard attracting players in. I've said this in a couple of videos recently. Lampard is an alluring motherfucker, if you excuse my French. Like, the way he charms people and talks to people, like I've referenced this before, that I heard Harry Redknapp talk about how he got the job at Derby. I don't know if you've heard him tell this story, how Frank wanted to be a manager, right? And he was like touting him around. I think he got offered like the Ipswich job, and he didn't, it was umming and ahhing. And Harry knows Mel Morris. He lived down the road from him, the owner of Derby. And he says, look, talk to Frank Lampard, because he's like, are you looking for a manager? I won't do the Harry Redknapp impression, sorry guys. But he's like, no, because I tried to do it in a video and I let myself down, so I didn't do it here. I nearly caught myself doing it there. You know what? he said, all right, Mel, you're looking for a manager, aren't you, for Derby? He's like, I am Harry. He's like, you should talk to Frank Lampard. He's like, what, for a manager? No, absolutely no way. He's never managed. I can't let him manage Derby. Maybe he could apply for an assistant coach or something like that. But like, no way, you're off the air, Harry, sort of thing. He said, look, sit down with him, have a meeting. And he's like, all right. And he went to Frank, look, do you want to talk to Mel Morris about Derby? Maybe like talk about the job. And Frank was like, yeah, absolutely, let's have a crack. The next day, Harry Redknapp gets a phone call from Mel Morris saying, he's absolutely blown me away, I've given him the job. Like straight away. And then I remember I watched his first press conference as Derby manager. He super impressed me. I love Frank Lampard. And Mel was like literally sitting next to him going, he's good, isn't he? Like, look at this guy, sort of thing. And you can imagine he did the exact same thing with Chelsea. Marina Granovskaya, she's probably tough, you know, to crack, even though she's got a relationship with Frank. He came in, he probably talked him into such a frenzy they can't refuse, did the same with Roman. And this probably applies to players, because like Nick just said, you know, these young, the 20-year-old, that sort of generation of midfielders, they will know all about Frank Lampard. Do you know what I mean? And if they'll see what he's doing and they'll hear him talk, and when they've talked to him, they'll be like, he's wooed me. Do you know what I mean? So pretty much to answer your question, Dan, I think he has the power to do that with loads of players. I think provided their heart isn't already set on something or a deal's done, you can back our manager to absolutely give Chelsea a fair crack of the whip at getting the player, better than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who spoke to Erling Haaland, his countryman, couldn't convince him. He spoke to Timo Werner prior, or probably offered him ridiculous amounts of money to come to United, couldn't convince him. Frank Lampard comes in, does the business. What do you think, Nick?
I mean, it's so there are a couple of layers to this, right? The first layer is that both Frank Lampard and Petr Cech are insanely intelligent, eloquent people. I would imagine, although I've never spoken to either one of them personally, that when they speak, it's, you know, you better listen. You know, they carry a certain amount of gravitas. And then, you know, on top of that, I also don't get the sense from either one of them that they're full of shit. Whereas if Solskjaer is the one talking to you about the plan at United when every other week he's going to get fired, I feel like it's a hard sell, honestly, man. Like, it's just a harder sell.
Yeah. Plus, he looks like Smeagol.
Well, I didn't know we were going to get into the beauty pageant version of this. But I mean, it is interesting, right? And so from what I've read, you know, Chelsea are certainly in for Havertz, right? But, you know, Bayern Munich are massively lurking in the shadows because they always do this kind of deal. And he's like I think the most, probably accurate comparison that I've seen for Havertz is a young Thomas Müller, right? Which,
yeah.
If you look at where he plays on the field, you look at his style and all that kind of stuff, he's taller than you think he is. He's about 6'2". His slight frame, his Yannick style frame is
I'm not having it.
Look at those guns, baby.
Yeah.
You know, he's He is bigger than you think. So it's an interesting one, man. Like, if Chelsea are able to convince two German international style players in one window to come, it's a warning shot for everybody else in world football, you know, and especially because the economy at this point for leagues like Spain and Germany and France and, you know, a bunch of leagues where there is talent, but it's consolidated in one or two teams. It's going to be really, really interesting to see kind of how the Premier League can reassert itself in this moment, Chelsea specifically, Dan.
All right, so let's wrap it and kind of get a little bit of a quick gut judgment here. So we'll kind of go around the horn. First question, do we sign Havertz? And if we do, what ends up being maybe the rumored, because we're never going to know the actual 100% fee that they're going to agree to, because neither of these clubs are on any type of public exchange, so they have nobody to report any of their financials to. So I'll go to Nick first, because Jan's the guest, and I want to be polite. Nick, do we sign Havertz? And if so, what do you think the rumored fee would end up being?
I know that Bayern were interested in Werner, and they have to be on him as well. I would assume that they're also very much into Havertz. So I'm just, like, gut judgment says no, that, you know, that Bayern get him, you know, which would obviously make sense for them and make them insanely lethal, even more than they already are.
Oh, frightening.
But I'm looking at the fee, and I think Chelsea would have, if Chelsea can get the fee somewhere in the 70 million pound range, there's something there. If not, you know, I don't see Chelsea in this window 120 million pounds for a player.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of echo Nick's sentiments there. I don't think so. I feel like everyone's talking about Chelsea really need an attacking midfielder. If they just had that attacking person to play in the hole, they'd really be the next level. Then yeah, I'd feel it. But I've got that gut feeling as well that I think Frank Lampard's interested. I think maybe behind the scenes, he could have even had a conversation with the player, and the player might like Chelsea. That's where the noise might be coming from. But I don't think that means it's going to happen. If it did, I believe it would be a club record. Like Nick, maybe just over Kepa, I reckon it would probably be like 75, maybe 80. And Chelsea would find a really healthy, structured way. They'd probably pay like 40 million up front or 50. And then it would be in installments and then maybe bonuses, because Chelsea often do that. Smart way of abiding to financial fair play. But that's if it happens, and my gut feeling is sadly no.
Oh,
sorry, guys.
All right. Somber. I'll be a little contrarian here, because I think we're not going to have the best defense in the league next season. Sorry. Like, it's just not like our the Lampard style is not amazing defense. We'll still concede goals next season with Kepa in goal. So it means we're going to need to score a lot. So what's the best thing to do in that scenario? Just add more goals. Like, just let's just like top goals upon goals upon goals upon goals, score 70, 80 goals in the season, concede 75, but still win the league, bring in Kai Havertz, get it done.
In the Fast and the Furious movies, Dan is always the guy to put like five NOS tanks just to really ratchet up that speed, and his car usually explodes. Like, that's the one.
Yeah. I got it.
Nick, it's also all about family.
It's all about family.
And bringing into the family will be one Kai Havertz. I think somewhere like in the 85 range. Here's the other thing. He is out, you know, he will be on the last year of his contract heading into the start of the next season. So when you think about this, this will be the last opportunity, similar to Jadon Sancho, if he doesn't sign an extension, where they have a maximum opportunity to demand as high a value as possible. So if they want to lose their negotiating position and what could be an even worse financial situation a year from now, Leverkusen are not a super rich club, and this is the kind of the one player that they could set themselves up for the future for a pretty sustained period. So I think there's a confluence of really good events that end up favoring Chelsea's way, and I think there's a higher likelihood than not that he'll end up in Chelsea blue. And but we want to hear what you think. We want to wrap this one up. We'll be back later in the week with a little bit more conversation about who should be coming to Chelsea. We're talking about left backs. But thank you, Jan, for coming in for this first one. We'll have you back in the second. Nick, as always, amazing. And since Brandon isn't here, I guess I'll say it. Until next time, Chelsea fans, keep the blue flag flying high.